Chris Houston, his match, by assuming he's been matching up against the best, so Fitz is the best on their team. So can you talk about that a little bit?
Yeah, Chris is playing really well for us. He has all year. You know, I don't know. I'm not going to say that I believed he could do what he's doing and match up against the best receivers in the league, and we've seen a lot of them the last couple of years. A mistake I made a year ago, I thought Eric Reich could do that, and, you know, we did it against Carolina, and he really struggled. And Chris wanted to cover Smith in that game, and I said, no, let's let Eric do it. Well, I guess he showed me. You know, he's been doing it all year, and he's doing a good job of it. You know, I think I had a talk with the team the other day, and walking into the room, I didn't really have a good point I was going to make. I just wanted to let him know we got to keep playing and working hard. And I looked at Chris Houston, and I remember the days of him covering Calvin Johnson every day in practice. And I got to the point where I got sick to my stomach watching him get beat. And I wanted to move Chris to the other side and get him away from Calvin for a while. And then, you know, let him come back after a couple of weeks, and he wouldn't have anything to do with it. He just kept going after him, and, you know, the thing changed. It changed, and it changed drastically. Chris did a great job, and I think Calvin's really helped him along the way, and if you ask Calvin, I'm sure they'd talk to you about that. But it was really something to see, and that's what I brought up to players. Chris is the kind of guy that never takes no for an answer. He's hard to judge when you look at him. You know, he's such a fine young man. You don't see the competitiveness every day when he's walking around, but he's stepped up and made himself a really good corner.
Is Flewellen really ready to go Sunday if you need him?
I'm sorry. I'm supposed to keep a straight face, right? He flew something now, and I kidded him. I said, you look like you're fat and out of shape. He goes, we'll see. And I watched him the last two practices. He's running with Van den Bosch, and just he's one of those workout warriors. You know, he's not going to – when he was sitting out, I'm sure he worked out 20 hours a day and got himself ready for the call. And he's done a good job in practice, so I'm not worried about him.
How about Nick? I mean, obviously he's been out here taking mental reps. Is he game-time decision?
Yeah, that's what it's going to come down to. He's really – really come on as a player, everything that we initially thought he was. He had to fight through the injury a year ago, and he's really back into this thing emotionally and physically, and he's made some great plays. Yeah, I was sick when I saw him go down, and I was hoping it would be just a short-term thing, and I'm still hoping that's what it is, and he wants to play. There's no doubt about that. You know, the way this game's going, I can't tell you the good plays from the cheap ones anymore. You know, the way people are playing, and, you know, it's an offensive game. There's no doubt about that. On defense, you got to fight for your life every snap and coach for it, too.
Coach,
yeah.
Coach, how do you get up for a team that lost 58-0 on a third quarterback and struggles to get the
Larry Fitzgerald. Larry Fitzgerald. Yeah, I know him. I know Beanie Wells. You know, I can tell you, Patrick Peterson, he plays the other side, but he takes snaps on offense. They use him as a wildcat some and as a receiver. They got good players, and Ken Wisenhunt, he's one of the finest coaches I know. You know, so it's not hard to get up for it. They are really well coached. Their scheme is really good on offense. And, you know, with the throw out last week's game, those other games, you know, they're beating New England at New England. You know, and I've always felt like this. You know, when you do well in this league, if you get full of yourself, you're going to get beat. And we've been struggling all year. You know, I looked at the scores last night, and it just makes you sick. One of the things I've always coached are turnovers, and they're just not coming our way. You know, Van den Bosch has the ball in his hand to go in to win a game. Cliff Averill's had about five of them in his hand. And we strip the ball, we're not getting it. You know, it's just, for some reason, it's just not going our way, and it's frustrating.
Talk about Jonte Green a little bit, but just his development.
I laugh every question you guys ask. Those are all the things on my mind, so you must be in tune to what's going on. He had a heck of a practice again today. You know, I don't know what he thinks about it. Yeah, you know, I watch him, and I think he's oblivious to everything. I don't know if he knows it's daylight or dark. But I do know one thing. When he's playing man-to-man, he gets on him. And he has raw, natural strength and tremendous speed. We had a pass yesterday where a guy looked like he was going to beat him. And Bradford Bent was standing next to me. I said, no way. He's going to track him. And he did. Knocked the ball down. You know, I look for the next couple of years. I think he's the kind of corner we need around here. He's physical. He's strong. And he's available. You know, you talked about those words, available, reliable, accountable. Well, he fits all of those. So, you know, his upside is big in my life.
How much has he already improved, I mean, since May?
Yeah, and, the old coaches used to do high repetitions. We didn't talk much on the field. We did our talking in meeting rooms. And he kind of would fit those years because he's taken more reps, I think, than anybody on our team, on our defensive side. And I think that's what's paid off. You know, he's really, you could see him grow all year long. The one play against the Rams when he got beat, I saw it, you know, I went over to talk to him, and he said, I had it out. I had it out. I mean, he kept fighting me. I said, they gave him a touchdown. And he said, I had that ball out. You know, you could feel his competitiveness. And if you talk to him every day, you don't get that. But when game time or practice time comes, he doesn't want you to catch the ball, and that's what a corner should do.
How much does Chris Greenwood stay involved?
Well, he gets real busy on Friday. My Fridays are spent with Chris on the sideline. And you were asking about Chris Houston. One of Chris Greenwood's comments, I was showing him a stance and balance and how he keeps his feet and hands, and we're watching the other DBs. He said, you know, Coach, you're describing Chris Houston when you told me about the stance and what I should be working on. He said, Chris Houston's like perfect, isn't he? I said, yeah, he's pretty close to it, you know. And so he's a smart kid. And the thing that I got to be very aware of, if I tell him something a month later, he'll know exactly what I said a month ago. He's real bright and he's real he studies hard, and that's good for a guy that's not playing.
What sort of role do you think those two can play for you next year?
I hope it's the upside role. You know, I'll have to watch their development over the off season, but they certainly have all those intangible and tangible qualities for a corner. They both can run. They're great athletes, and their character is what you're looking for. I mean, they're outstanding character guys, you know, this offseason is going to be really important for him.
At this point, is Greenwood, is there any thought about Greenwood playing safety, or is he
still No. How about, you know, I went to the wall with Martin and Jim to get him drafted. And I mean, they saw the same things I did. I just didn't think we had a chance. This guy is exactly what you're looking for as a corner. He's long, meaning long-armed and athletic and quick and fast and smart. And I don't want to see him play safety. He's, you know, he needs to go out there and cover guys. That's why he's here. So I'm looking forward to seeing him come into this offseason.
Do you worry about Delmas's long-term health if you guys play him over the next few games as opposed to letting him put him on IR?
That thing really hurts. That's a real personal issue with me and probably the whole coaching staff. You know, he's such an inspirational leader of our team. And last week I was coaching on the sideline against Green Bay, and I don't like anybody around me, and somebody bumped me, and I wheeled, and I saw it was Lou. And, you know, that was a tough emotional moment for me to have him in street clothes next to me. I put my hand around, our arm around him, and we called the next four or five plays together. If there's any way in, I can't say hell, right? Well, whatever that word is. if there's any way that he can be back 100% healthy, I think he's the one guy that can do this. He can't lose football. He's one of those guys that needs that field behind us. He needs to be out there and keep him emotionally straight the rest of his life. So whatever he has to do, whatever I'd have to do, I would do, and I know he will. So
how do you do as a co-defensive coordinator?
Yeah, he was great. He was great. The three bad guys were talking today, Sue and Delmas and me. we were having a good time down there talking about, you know, situations. And we told Sue the story. And Delma said, you know, Gunn, he hates that when anybody comes close to him. And Sue asked him if I let him stay. And he said, oh, yeah. So we showed him the, it was like a hug-a-thon down there. So I don't know what he did as far as influencing the calls, but he sure influenced my life just standing next to me.
All right, got it.
Mm-hmm.